Am I? That's fine. As long as I'm still alive. Okay, so it's another Saturday, and I can tell you here in Florida we have a tropical storm that's given us a lot of rain, a lot of wind, heading into the panhandle. Who knows what a mess it's going to make, but that's part of sunny Florida. We get our rain to keep us from drying up. The world continues. Every week seems to run like it's a month long. Every day there are new revelations. We have people finally streaming in and out of Congress to testify. Some of them have had attorneys, I guess, who've told them what could happen to them if they don't. Anyway, we called the show Everybody Does It Syndrome. When I was a child, I guess like a lot of kids, you grow up, you don't know who anybody is around you till you're old enough to talk, and you call that one mom, that one dad, brother, sister, whatever. I said, but, you know, you crawl around on the floor, maybe you yell, maybe you belch, whatever it is. So we learn. We learn from these big creatures that are feeding us. And, you know, as far as we're concerned, they're not harming us till we recognize they're part of a family. They teach you things. Famous golden rule, do unto others you would have them do unto yourself. Other rules that people disregard, two wrongs don't make a right. Yet when you hear two wrongs don't make a right, how many times when you're a kid, because, you know, you figure you're just learning how to deal with adults, maybe you're in school, pre-K, whatever it is, and you got blueberries all over you, ate stuff you shouldn't, mom told you to leave the pie alone, and she says, who ate my blueberry pie? Oh no, he did. We grow up at an early age recognizing we don't want to be blamed because the tone of this big person who's taking care of us. So somehow we recognize that maybe we shouldn't admit to something. So one of the favorite things that humans like to do, and it is so dumb, it's pathetic. It's, well, he did it, or she did it, or everybody does it. So like if everybody walked around, think of gun control, and everybody decided to take their AR-15 in the street and shoot up anybody they saw. I guess I could take mine and go out there and blow away anybody, not regarding who they are, what I'm going to do to families, to life, to the future of our country, or anybody, because I don't know who I'm killing. So this everybody does it syndrome was really front and center the other night when Mick Mulvaney, who is turning out to be one of Donald's best henchmen in a way. He's running the OMB, which is the Office of Management and Budget, so he has a lot of controls over what happens with budgets and things we won't hear about if he's controlling them. And he's also acting as chief of staff. He's been central to what's going on with this Ukraine thing. And Mick Mulvaney comes out the other day. I mean, what do you do? You're like a kid. You got blueberries all over your face. And this big creature who's taking care of you says, who ate the blueberry pie, with that tone in their voice? You know it's wrong when you're being asked. So you come out, you point to someone else. Everybody does it syndrome. That's not a way to run a country. That's not a way to run a government. That's not a way to honor the people who have fought and died for the country we have. We don't just decide that all of that is meaningless and I'm just going to do it because everybody does it. Well, that's what Mick Mulvaney basically said. In fact, like a kid on a street corner with no education, he also used the phrase, get over it. In other words, we're in charge, we did what we want, and we're running the place for you. Just get over it, deal with it. You know what? Had I been standing there at that time, I would have had trouble controlling myself not to be that parent and smack him in the face. Because he's not a little child. He should know better. His own mother or father might have cringed when they heard him say that. All you have to do is watch that, and you know what you're dealing with this administration. And I say administration, emphasis on ad, because Donald feels he's just putting out new ads that he's going to look smiley and big in his nice suit. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. My alter ego has been working overtime, putting the alters together so you can hear it from the ego. So let me just switch over and let you have some other voice.
Well, good morning to everyone. It's such a beautiful day. It's raining. We need water to survive on this earth. I'm always happy when there's water. And talking about everybody does it syndrome, just going, you know, forward with what the co-host just mentioned, it is very interesting that educated adults, not non-educated adults, have this point the finger, and you wonder why young adults and children grow up dishonoring you, disrespecting you, believing in nothing, because we have no honor as a people, as a group, if this is the attitude we're always going to take. As long as I have minds, to hell with everybody else. If I steal a cookie and get away with it, you get over it. And he's right in what he's saying. This is the attitude of the entire Republican Party, not just in the Senate, but governors across the country. Let me see how far I can go, and let me teach the population what dictatorship really is. We control it all, and we will continue to control it all. We have a lot of things that we need to cover this morning, and I do want to talk about some of the things that I want voters, old and young, you need to start paying attention and stop turning off your hearing. God gave you ears to listen, to hear, a brain to process things, and disregarding what's going on around you is not the way to do it. But worse than that, the inability to say, I was wrong, I picked wrongly, it all actually comes down to how relationships are. If you are incapable of admitting that you're wrong, how are you running your marriage, your personal relationships, not only with your children, but with your friends? How can you look at what's going on in the country and disregard everything because you have a car or a house? You may be lucky to have a job that pays you well. Oh, your family might have left you trust funds. So you believe that nothing ever is going to happen to you to change that narrative. You know what? Millionaires are made and millionaires also go broke, just like the rest of us. And you really need to pay attention. So let's talk and let's start the conversation. And my co-host and I will be interacting back and forth on some of these issues that I wish to cover. So let's talk about what I call the axis of evil, starting with President Trump, wannabe dictator, but a very dangerous human being. Then we have Putin, who is a dictator. Then we have Xi, who runs China, smarter, but he's also a dictator. They call him communist, they call him socialist, whatever you want to call him. He controls everything, but the difference is that at least he's putting policies, right, in place in his country long-term. He's a long-term policy individual of what the future of China is going to look like while here in the U.S., we're regressing. We're not at center stage anymore. And that's really a very sad thing. And I think voters and Americans in general should really sit down and think about that. You're not in the forefront of anything. Everything that Trump does at the behest of Putin, I will go so far as to say that he is not only a traitor, but he's actually a spy for Russia. And his narrative is to destroy everything, protect himself, and make sure that the Soviet Union can rise to whatever power, whether here or abroad. We're seeing it every day, and we see it with China. They're very patient. They've got over 1.5 billion people in their country. We have maybe 400 million, and when you take away the elderly and the children, you don't even have that. Nuclear bombs, I guess, is the only way that we feel we're going to be able to defend anything, and then we'll just kill off the entire planet. And then we have Aragon. So we have the Ottoman Empire coming back together. Thank you, Trump. You actually feel that this is a good thing as long as you can deflect, protect yourself from what you know will come at you if you don't do what these guys want to do to you. And why did I put that up? You've got Putin, a wealthy, wealthy billionaire, keeps his people, right, with nothing. But he does export them to other countries to take over. That's what he does. There's no reason for the country to be poor, actually, when you have leaders like that who have tons of money. Aragon in Turkey, same thing. Saudi Arabia, tons and tons and tons of money, but they keep control. And this is exactly what Trump and the Republican Party want to do. They want to take the country back. They want to make as much money as they can and to hell with everybody else, even though we pay our taxes here. So what happened in October? And I have mentioned this before about the Trump budgetary cuts and what's coming. So now he's put in a rule because, you know, the only way he governs is by all these executive orders that, by the way, are illegal, most of them. But his Congress, the Senate, has decided that as long as they support him, they don't care what he does. And things that should be legislative, it doesn't have to be legislated anymore.
Quick reminder, when you understand executive orders, I've discussed them before. The way a president could put out an executive order, a memo, or anything else, as long as it's in with the purview, the understanding of the laws that we have. When people just put them out as edicts, because they feel they want to rule, and in Trump's thing, the point is, McConnell isn't working with him. McConnell has been doing quid pro quo, I will discuss it later, with Trump. So that's why he's putting out the orders, because even the full Republican Congress never cooperated with him, except if they got something. Go ahead.
So he's decided that 1 million of your children, listen well, southern states, little towns, midwestern states, you better listen well because it's really affecting your kids. Even though you feel it's affecting only black people, I don't know why you guys feel that way. You need to start reading and understanding what's out there.
Let me remind you folks, a quick one. As I've said before, every child in this country is important to us, the most important asset. They are our future, period.
Absolutely. So he's got 1 million kids that's going to lose their automatic free lunches all around the country. Free lunches is very interesting. I want to go through a little bit of history. And the reason why I do this every time I'm on is because people fail to look back at why things are in place and maybe improve it. But instead of doing that, they want to get rid of everything. They don't know the history of anything until it affects them and they wonder, oh my God, why didn't the government do X, Y, and Z? While they forget that they wanted the government to get rid of everything, because you're pointing at the kid next door who gets the free lunch and you're a wealthy child doesn't get it, so you're pissed about that. You forget, though, that some of those poor children or middle-class children, their parents work. Oh, they don't make $100,000 and they don't make $80,000. But I could tell you, I work with the working poor in New Jersey, and a lot of them had 2 and 3 jobs trying to keep their families together and paying taxes. Is it tons of taxes? No, but they're still paying it. The wealthy doesn't really pay taxes, and you're happy to support them. Why is that? So I want you to look at the history of the school meal programs. The school lunch program in 1936, before it became what we have today, which is a federally funded program administered by the states, right? Just like Social Security, Medicare, well, not Social Security, but Medicare, Medicaid, administered by some of the states in the way they want. It was teachers and mothers' clubs in the 1930s that, through their volunteer efforts, actually provided breakfast and lunches to kids. And if I don't know if people who are listening ever remember when they were going to school, they used to have cooking classes that you could be able to take. Everybody used to have to take home economics, learn how to cook, how to fry an egg, make a whatever. Through that program, they actually started providing daily lunches and breakfast to kids. Why? Because they were cooking and they had a cafeteria and they were able to provide that. What, you know, what a wonderful thing for teachers and mothers to do. When the Great Depression took place, you had so many kids who were hungry people. It overwhelmed these cafeterias and these lunchrooms. So these volunteers, these mothers, these teachers went to their local state governments and then to the national government, which is the federal government, looking for funding and assistance for their program. So in 1932, the New Deal agencies, such as the Federal Emergency Relief Administration, the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, and the Civil Works Organization, began to provide funding for lunches. And guess how they did it? When farmers were growing food and they had more than was needed, the government would then buy the food and provide the supplies to the schools. That's how it used to work. So they bought the surpluses that were being grown, and then they provided to the schools so that the kids could then be fed. During World War II, the Food Administration, or they used to call it the War Food Administration, 1943 to 1945, helped create the school lunch program. And it has expanded from that point. At some point, what we had was you either paid something, depending on your salary, depending on how poor, how below the poverty level you were. They then had subsidized where either you paid everything because your parents could afford it, or you paid nothing. So we had kind of a tiered type system that was being used.
And part of that was so when kids are together, that they don't feel strange that one isn't being fed, someone is, and getting singled out, just like wearing uniforms in some schools. One more footnote. Whenever you travel around your local town, if you have the good fortune of driving past a little old building that looks nice, and maybe nobody's there, and it says the Women's Club, in a lot of jurisdictions throughout the country, women locally got together and collectively were like a mom so that the people in their place were fed or, you know, had clothes to wear if they needed it. People don't know the history of it, but that's part of what my co-host is talking about.
And I want to tell you that in 1946, Congress passed the National School Lunch Act. And you know why? Because they were rejecting so many individuals during World War I. They were rejected them during the draft. And why were they rejecting them? Because they had poor nutrition during the childhood. So we couldn't have them as soldiers. Again, people, you got to understand the history of why we do what we do today. Had they not done that, you think we would have a good military today? Somebody had the foresight to figure out, golly, we are rejecting all of these individuals who could be out with helping with the war effort because they had poor nutrition in their homes. And remember, we did have a Great Depression that we were going through that time.
Remember, you don't want to outfit a soldier, give him a weapon, and he can't even carry it. He's too weak to get out there and fight. So by the 30s, as my co-host has said to you, we realize we have to do something for our own benefit.
So by the end of the first year of the school lunch program, the National School Lunch Program, that started in 1946, so now we're into 1947, 7.1 million children were actually helped. Think about that. We look at 7.1 million today and we say, oh, that's not a lot, but you got to look at what the population of the country was in 1946. So I want you to start looking at what's going on. Even Nixon, President Nixon, believed that we needed to end hunger in America and petitioned Congress to make sure that we had a program that would feed children in this country. In 1966, Congress passed the Child Nutrition Act, which stated that educational progress was an objective of the school meal program. The bill was signed by President Lyndon B. Johnson, and it created the federally subsidized school breakfast program. So why is President Trump, who's never missed a damn meal in his life, he doesn't know what it is to really work? His parents always bailed him out of every crap he did in New York, every failure he ever had, paid off politicians to make sure he was in jail. But he doesn't feel that your children, who you pay taxes for, should have a lunch. And he even wants to have mean testing for people below the poverty level, that if they have $2,000, they won't be eligible for a free lunch or a free breakfast. I want the conscience of America to start thinking, how does that look? Are you wealthy people, professional people, that lacking in any kind of empathy, any kind of trying to make sure your country can grow, your children can take over? Are you that mean-spirited that you think this makes sense? From a man who has no idea what it is to miss a meal, people out in the South, in these little towns, are you okay with your children not having something to eat?
By the way, if you go by what he's trying to do to take away food for a million kids in our system that are a part of our future, and he's using a means testing that if you have $2,000, we're not going to give you any support toward breakfast, which is important. According to him, he's got a lot more than $2,000. But I defy him to show me that even if he took money out of his pocket to pay for a meal, that it was his money. Because he has been living off our money by his own word. Just go back and listen to what he said. Other people's money is what he spends. He tells you. Believe him. And he's picking our pocket, as I can prove it to you or anybody. And this man wants to deprive people who may have a few bucks of some support for children that are our future, not just their parents. They're our future.
Let me just say that the states with the higher percentage of students who qualify for free and reduced price lunch, and this is 2012. I'm still looking for the numbers for 2016, but I do have a list of areas or counties around the country based on population where the majority or a good percentage of the population of their kids are on free breakfast and or lunch or both. Mississippi, 71.5%. New Mexico, 68.5%. Louisiana, 67.1%. Why am I bringing this up? Because these are the states who support Donald Trump and say, get rid of government, get rid of all of these laws that are helping their kids, their communities that they're living off. But they're not thinking about these programs, what these programs are doing. I guess as long as they think that somehow they're not going to be affected, they don't really care. People, learn the history. You can look this up yourself. Stop destroying what's in place. You can make it better, but it doesn't mean you have to destroy it. You have to understand why it's there and the good that it has done all these years from the early 1920s all the way to 2019.
And let me make a good point that you should all think about. As I said, all the children are our most precious resource for our future and the future of our country. And think about it. Even if a few parents or someone cheats and they don't tell you what they've got and a kid gets a free meal, think about it. All of these children will have a feeling that their country cared about them. They got a meal. They're going to look at it that way. And maybe their parents, even if they have the money, aren't feeding them right. We make sure they get a good start. I will always pay for that. Even if their parents could afford it, I would feed that kid. It's our children, our future.
And I want to bring one more thing before we go to the next topic. I also did some research based on congressional districts, mostly Republican districts, because places like New York, Connecticut, Chicago, California, they've always been at the forefront of making sure that they make school lunches available to everyone, regardless of what your salary or income levels are. You got the 115th Congress District 1, District 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. By the way, Alabama, anywhere between 16.5% to 19% of their population in 2017 are in the food insecurity rate, getting a lot of this free food. So Alabama, you need to start looking and really reading what is going to be cut from you, unless Trump is setting up separate trust funds, taking money away from the northern states to give it to the southern states so that you feel good that you're not being affected. Unless he's doing that, you need to really start thinking about what's going on. District 1 through 4 in Arkansas, anywhere between 14% to 19% of the population are on food programs.
If you take a minute, it's well worth it because it's our future. And you, your friends, your relatives, tell them he's trying to cut this program for children's breakfast and lunch at schools, okay? They're all our children. These are not immigrants. We're not being invaded by them. These are ours, period. If anybody understands, everybody send a letter to the White House and copy your local newspaper. And in it say, you can cut that program when you start skipping a meal yourself every day.
Absolutely. And maybe we ought to take away their damn salaries and all the other benefits that they have that they are willing to cut from us. And by the way, Florida, right? We've got Rick Scott, another corrupt individual now sitting in the Senate, and we now have DeSantis as the governor. It's a joke. Congressional districts 1 through 12 in the state of Florida, anywhere from 12.7% to 19.5% of the population is in the food insecurity rate as of 2017. So you can do all this development and all of these wonderful high-priced area, make it look like the state is really very progressive. Look at what we're doing. Yeah, look at what you're doing. You don't want to feed your kids. You're taking away benefits. All these damn tax cuts, people, you got to start thinking of what tax cuts do to you. They cut funding from your community and your schools. They cut funding for your children. You wonder why you don't have certain things because you're not willing to pay a penny more. While you're okay with wealthy people, corporations coming into your states, your community, and not have to pay taxes because they're going to give you a $7 an hour job.
So remember, how great is he making America when he wants to cut breakfast or lunch programs for our children in our schools, for our future, and he takes hundreds of millions of dollars out of our treasury when he puts it toward his resorts, as he just announced that he wants the G7 meeting at his Doral Hotel and Resort because they are bleeding money. They're not popular. They're in a deficit. So he wants us to pump more money into his business.
So I want us now go over to the courts. People, when I worked in the election in 2016, a lot of my phone calls were to Democrats trying to instill and get in their heads that the Senate was very critical to the election. Why? Because they're the ones that appoint judges into our judicial system. We have people like Mitch McConnell and the conservative religious rights who have decided that we want a Christian-run government. We should probably start wearing headscarves and long dresses. They don't want anybody to have any rights, and they put the Bible as their reasoning for that. Be very careful. What has happened? Nobody bothered to go out and vote as the way they should. Russia interfered. Donald Trump paid off all kinds of people so that they would give him their delegate vote. That will come out eventually. And he got elected. So what do we have? We have a puppet for Trump, for Putin, I'm sorry. And we have a puppet called Mitch McConnell in the Senate, beholden to the NRA and the religious rights. And now we know that also Russia. They just want judges that are going to reverse everything that you enjoy today. Young people, this is what these people are leaving your future. They don't have anything to lose. Half of them are old, decrepit. They've got lots of money. They can go and solve their problems, and to hell with you. But if you care about your country, young people, you will start paying attention to what I'm saying. Go do some research. Governor DeSantis.
Excuse me, let me just add one thing. When they talk about impeachment, they talk about, and forget whether he's impeached or not, but the reasons they talk about are that phrase you keep hearing, high crimes and misdemeanor, but the same paragraph says bribery or treason. This is from the Founding Fathers. If you look up Article 3, Section 3 in the Constitution, it's simple. Treason is defined as against the United States, consists in levying war against the U.S., or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. When we back people out, our soldiers away from the Kurds in Syria, and let Erdogan truly invade another country, Russia within 2 days started airlifting their troops that are in that region, taking over our bases, our equipment. This is aiding and abetting and giving comfort to the enemy. Maybe Trump feels he didn't serve, he doesn't have to follow these rules. Well, everybody has to really think hard, because there isn't a rule for impeachment that he hasn't broken. Because bribery, we've already heard about it. His attorney, Michael Cohen, is in jail for carrying out bribery in that president's name during the campaign. Go ahead.
So I want to talk about the rise of Nazism, trickery and bullshit is what I call it. And you say, why are you saying that? And I'm saying it because, have you paid attention to what's happening in the courts, not just here in Florida, but from Florida, the jumpstart to the 11th Circuit Court, federal court of the United States. So what does DeSantis do? He appoints Justice Locke to the Florida Supreme Court. By the way, this was just in February of 2019. And then Trump decides, you know what? I'm nominating the same guy to be in the 11th Circuit District Court in October. He doesn't even have 7 months sitting here in the Florida Supreme Court. You know that every time Mr. Trump goes out and finds some corrupt person to appoint in a position, it's to protect his ass. He doesn't really give a damn about the courts. He insults them when he gets good and ready. He insults the Constitution, insults our country. He doesn't care. It's all about deflection. Who could I appoint, just like William Barr, to protect me and make a mockery of law enforcement? And then they appoint the first Cuban-American woman to serve in the Supreme Court here in Florida, and the first Jewish guy in more than 20 years. But what's even more galling is then they appoint Carlos Muñiz. He was a lawyer for the U.S. Department of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. Please go read about Betsy DeVos and her family and her brother and how corrupt they are. And this man has never even had any judicial experience. At least the other two have. But, you know, they're going to do whatever Trump wants them to do. This Muniz was involved with Pam Bondi in making sure that they would not pursue any of the complaints against Trump University here in Florida. And all Trump had to do was give Pam Bondi $50,000 for her reelection. And he then got away once again, and she became the darling daughter of the Republican Party. So now you've got two of these justices that they're going to put in the federal district court, the 11th Circuit Court. Look it up. That's where he has the most heartburn, because those judges aren't giving him everything he wants. How else can he get away with all his criminality that we are seeing every day? And as citizens and as voters, we've decided we're just going to let them get away with it. So I want you to look at the faces, Bondi and Muniz, and you also want to take a look at the prior slide that I had of Luck and the wonderful Cuban-American woman, Lagoa. None of them care about you. They care about protecting whatever Scott, DeSantis, Trump put in place. As long as they got theirs, just because they're Latinos, people, that doesn't mean they're empathetic. And I want people to realize that. Latinos are no more empathetic than whites or anybody else. So when you see it, stop applauding, because they're going to do everything to reverse whatever is in place that we as citizens enjoy today.
Let me just say, while my alter ego is talking about the courts and the people they're putting, this is something that people haven't looked at. In the first 2 years, when it was a total Republican Congress, Mitch McConnell gave Trump next to nothing. He gave him the tax cut, which is costing us trillions of dollars and blowing our debt out of sight. And it went to a small group. All the other, if you go back and look at the 115th, 116th Congress from 2017 to 2019, before the people recognized what they had let get elected in 2016, and they all came out in 2018, and they better repeat that in 2020, and even stronger. But what happened is Mitch McConnell, his thing is he wants all these conservative judges for all the people who contribute to his and his party's stuff. Nothing wrong with being a Republican. There's something wrong with being a Republican over being an American first. Mitch McConnell has made these deals. We've talked about it before. Money flowing into his state from China and other places. But the term that everybody keeps tripping over, quid pro quo, I may get a t-shirt made with a QPQ on it. Repeating it is not important. Understanding that Mitch McConnell gave Trump certain bills like the tax bill that he wanted. And remember, Mitch McConnell could have easily passed a bill giving Donald $1.5 billion or more money for his damn wall. He didn't. What he did was say, you want what you want, I want what I want. He's had Trump give him all these judges, which are going to affect our lives into the future. And the bottom line is, we have to change this. We can change it by going out and voting. I don't care if we put Frankenstein in office, but get rid of those people who are only serving their selfish interests. But Mitch McConnell with Donald Trump is pure quid pro quo, period. No question.
Before I start talking about Bill O'Reilly, I want to address our Facebook watch party. Dorothy Gentry, thank you for writing. She states, the new era generation forced into reconstruction era should go forward, not backwards. And what's happening is, due to greed and policies of the current government, we have lots of hungry children again. please get involved and vote. And I agree with you, Dorothy. I wonder if anybody is paying attention to how many homeless people there are out in the street. Where I work, and I'm not going to mention where, but where I work, I was appalled to see in one of the parks so many homeless men, okay? Homeless men. I see it every day in some of the shopping centers. You see groups of men and women huddled together. Why, if he's making America great again, America was always great, people. Remember that. It was always great. You can only make it better. Why, if that's the case, we are seeing all of these people again in the street. Why are we seeing so many kids again hungry? Why are we seeing that? Where is this greatness that he calls greatness? What he really means is make Trump rich again, because he's so beholden to so many dictators around the world that he is fearing for his life, and he gets his money that way, and he's got to pay back. Payback is a bitch, people. Remember that.
Let me quickly, before my alter ego goes on to the next thing, is also thank you for the listeners. Gerald Lynch, Facebook. Statement is absolutely true. Don't forget that the government buys this food, when we were talking about the food for the children, from farmers who make money from these programs. Stop the programs and the farmers also lose money.
Absolutely.
Well, again, I told you, Trump learned from his father. The more you can have expenses that you can then change and push in your own direction, the more you'll get profit. If this food is excess and it's surplus, he can find uses for it. He finds uses for everything.
And this is one
wrong uses, but uses.
And this is one of the things that when I get on this show every 2 weeks, I'm trying to educate people. You can go online and research this. Go to a library. I prefer going to libraries. I like touching a book. I'm not one of these people that really likes to be online looking at things on a computer. But if you are that type of person, you can do your research. You don't have to believe me. You can look at the stats. You can look at when things started. Start to understand the pieces of the puzzle. Every action has a contrary reaction. So if you cut something here, if you're not looking at the downstream effect of how many people, how many businesses, how many communities are going to be affected, then you end up with a hole and wonder why. Elba Gonzalez Crooms, many people are like Trump. Make them work for it mentally. I did it on my own. Lots of us have done it on our own, but you know what? When I hear things like that, sometimes I say, did your parents not sit down and say to you, you got to read, you got to know your ABCs, you got to know your numbers? Did a teacher not along the way praise you about something, encourage you? None of us do anything really on our own. Wealthy people will tell you they build all of this on their own. Oh, my God, my own efforts. That's not true. A lot of them in today's world, I'm not talking about in the days when cars came into play and some individual decided they were going to make a car or build a production system. A lot of them were born into it, okay? A lot of them, their parents gave them their education, gave them their first house, and they took it from there. But they didn't do it on their own. I do agree that people should work for things if they can. Realize that a lot of people out there, and it could be your family member, friends that you know, kids who are born with disabilities, they just can't. There are others who are disabled who make an effort based on their disability to try to be as independent as they can. I used to work with mentally adults in New York. And I can tell you back then, they didn't have programs like they do today where you can go and work at a Publix, a Walmart, packing food, learning how to, you know, be a cashier so that you could be an independent individual in society. I think it's wonderful. You should embrace that and stop looking and saying, well, my kid doesn't have that and I don't have this. Why should they? That's the problem. They keep you believing that you're the problem when the problem is the people who are in control of the means, economic means in this country. You have got to stop putting yourselves and your neighbors down.
We're running up against time again, so we've got a lot to do in here. We're going to hit some others. You'll hear the passion in our voices. Last week, I had to calm myself down before I even started because I hate when anybody is anti my country. So let my alter ego continue, but this is all for you to think. We do the research, the background. We make sure these are factual.
The slide that's up right now is on Bill O'Reilly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I really want to talk about the labor unions. Very important. But Bill O'Reilly is a liar, gets on TV, and I got to tell you, the Republican Party, you got to admire them. You know why? Because they all get together in a huddle room. They have their little talking points. They sound like the Stepford Wives. Everybody looks the same. Everybody sounds the same. Nobody has an original thought. They have a game plan, and their game plan is to bring the country down and keep the power going. He lies every day. He gives misinformation, and he gets away with it. Okay, so the presidential debates take place, and he calls Beto O'Rourke a liar for talking about a woman who has four jobs. You know what, people? If you are a working person, a poor person, a middle-class person, even me, I used to have 2 to 3 jobs to try to help my family out. Leave one job, go to the other, never really getting that much sleep. Why? Because I didn't earn that much and I wanted something better for my family. My husband, the same thing. So why is it so hard to believe? It's hard to believe when you have people who don't know what the heck it is to really work. And they go anywhere and people give them things for free just because of their name and because the fact that they're rich. Just like the Trump children. They don't have a clue. They never served their country. They get on TV. They lie every day. Their food is free. Their transportation coverage. People, when you hear a person like this calling another individual a liar who is actually interacting with you and I on a daily basis, you need to make sure you put those people down. I know that there are too many people in this country that only listen to O'Reilly, Breitbart News, Fox News. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't care. They don't want to research. It's really sad. I listen to everything. NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, Morning Joe, you know, Breitbart. I go on online. You know why? Because you got to understand what people are saying and doing, or you will never be able to counter the stuff that they're trying to shove down your throat.
And by the way, whether I was working multiple jobs or not, because the next point is very important also about unions, it's great to understand. If I wasn't busy with other jobs or helping, you know, ailing relatives or someone else who was sick, needed to go to a doctor, if there was a kid in the neighborhood or a kid I knew, if they needed tutoring, be it in math or any subject, I would be there to help them. If it were older people, if it were a group serving meals to downtrodden who did or didn't have it, I didn't question them. If they came there, they got a meal. Do I know if they stuck online? That's between them and their God, not me. I gave it to them. They appeared. Not a big deal if one or two people maybe are taking advantage. The rest need it, and I would help. So if I wasn't busy working jobs to earn money, I was busy with people so that they felt someone cares and we're not leaving them at the roadside.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about the UAW and the tentative agreement that they have reached with General Motors. They had a strike, and it's a wonderful thing. And it's really sad that people in America don't understand unions. They don't understand how they started, why they started, and why you need to have a balance. It's interesting. In Europe and other parts of the world, unions have a seat at the table with corporations, making sure that the employees are protected, that they have a voice, they have some decision-making policies in the direction of the companies. But here in America, you don't want that. You are upset if a union worker makes $16 an hour or $25 an hour. You get pissed off about that. But you're not pissed off about the CEO making $100 million or $10 million or $20 million and all the directors that are running that company. You somehow think it's okay for them to make that money, but the average person who's making that money, who's sustaining our middle class, you're upset about. Young people, pay attention. Because if you're happy just working in a restaurant, being servers, and working in some department store part-time with no benefits, or full-time and no benefits, and very little money, then there's something wrong with the way we have taught you and trained you for the future. So I want to give a little bit of history so you realize why unions are important and why a balance is needed and why it has sustained the middle class in America.
And by the way, when they want to point to cutting the tax rates and tell you that all of Europe have lower rates or this or that, beside the fact that they were lying to you, all of Europe, and I've done a lot of international business, and by the way, myself and my alter ego have both been union members and studied unions in graduate or undergraduate school and worked with unions and know how they do, or grew up with family members who are in unions. In Europe, all those countries generally have a union member on the board of any corporation. They recognize that they want their voice heard so that people feel that they are really participating. Give them the history.
I'm going to give you the history, but I have to comment on what he said. In, believe it was Alabama, when BMW wanted to open up another plant and they wanted the unions to sit on the board. Guess what, Southern people? You voted that down. It would have been for the best for your members to have a sit on the board and make decisions about what's happening with the company and making sure you're earning good wages. Actually, you earn better wages under these types of companies than you do from the ones here in the U.S. I was amazed. They voted it down. You didn't do your research, and you really don't understand why it would have been important for you to have a seat on the board.
They were giving you what they give their employees in their history where they created their company, the same benefits.
So the earliest recorded strike was during colonial period in 1768, and it happened in New York. Why did it happen? Because what they used to be called the trades during that time, the journeymen tailors protested a wage reduction. And so you had the formation of the Federal Society of Journeymen Cord Winers. They were shoemakers. And then in Philadelphia in 1794, you actually ended up with the beginning of a sustained trade union organizing among American workers. But I want to give you another piece of history that nobody thinks about. 1834, Lowell, Massachusetts. A group of women called Mill Girls. They were working at mills. And they actually protested wage cuts. They wanted to protect the wages that were given to them at that time. And remember, I've done a show giving you the history of wages in the U.S., which have not gone up very much from the federal government starting in the 40s until now. In 1843, the Lowell Female Labor Reform Association started petitioning the states for a 10-hour workday. Imagine that. See, people, you don't know this because you're not really reading. There was a time in America that you didn't have a time for work. Children had to work long hours for very little pay under some severe conditions. Kudos to those women who went out there and started demanding some sort of fair wage and some sort of hours that they could work and still be with their families. In 1903, the Women's Trade League was formed at the AFL convention. And in 1909, 20,000 female shirt waist makers in New York protested against sweatshops. In 1827, the Mechanics Union started in Philadelphia. And I can go on and on and on. If you don't know this history, you don't understand why you now work 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, 40 hours or 35-hour weeks and have benefits, good salaries. And all of you managerial people out there who put unions down, I can tell you, There was a time in the U.S. in the 80s and 90s that every time union workers got raises, you got a raise. You got a raise. But you don't remember that because you're selfish and you're not thinking about the history, about what has been put out there for you. You put down all of these workers because management has told you they're bad for the company bottom line. Excuse me, people. Who's running the company? The CEOs, the vice presidents, and all these directors that are part-timers that get stock options and get dollars. They're the ones that are making decisions on the company. They're making or breaking the company. You're working to instill and carry out their policies. Why do you turn around and hate yourselves and hate unions? Teachers, why do you do this? Why do you suddenly decide that unions are so bad and everybody else is good? There's good and bad in everything, people. It's called having a balance.
I've not only been growing up in a working class family and part of a union and then part of management, two heartbeats away from the CEO of a major corporation that did international business. So I've been up in management also. I can tell you with all my background, knowledge, and training that when you have a certain uniformity, where you have a union, where you can work with them and you say you're treating everybody in a fair manner, why do you think we have all these acts that are called the fair wage standards, fair labor standards? A union just gives you something that as a manager you could say, I'm treating all the people fairly. Rather than, would you like to run a company with 20,000 employees and sit down with each one of them and find out what they'd like for benefits? Think about it. You wouldn't get anything done.
Worse than that, before that, they pick whoever they liked, their mother, their sister, brother, friends, and they gave them good pay, and you're doing the work and you're not getting anything, and you're equally as capable as the next person. It gives you a way to at least say we have some level of playing field. So people think about it. And the UAW, what were they fighting for? Donald Trump gave all of these wonderful tax cuts to all of these CEOs, and suddenly they're shutting down plants, they're laying off people, they're not giving anybody the salaries they deserve, they've pocketed it all, their wonderful investors are getting everything, and what are you getting? Those of you who file your taxes this year, I will challenge you that you are going to write back and say you got something out of those tax cuts. You're probably paying more money than you ever paid, or you've realized you're not going to get the money that you used to get. So the UAW agreement calls for 9,000 jobs, $9,000 in bonus. And remember, people, in the past, when a lot of these car companies used to get into trouble, the union used to make a lot of concessions to keep their jobs, and they never got those concessions back. They're trying to protect part-time workers. They're trying to make sure that these companies don't keep hiring all these contractors and temporary workers where they don't pay them anything and they can get rid of them and get rid of you as the permanent worker. You got to look at what your companies are doing. Where are they bringing these contractors from? Why is it that they're making money and you cannot be an employee?
By the way, quickly, because I don't always remember, because I consider it important to talk about these subjects, give you facts, let you have a better understanding of certain things. I'm not smarter than anybody, but I like taking care of my fellow Americans, period. So I'm going to tell you, I keep forgetting, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and also the share live stream. I don't get paid for doing this. I actually pay to have this facility and do it. So I ask you, share this with other people. I joke about, tell them to play it for their kids if they need to put them to sleep. But the bottom line is, share this. I do it for all of us. That's my only objective with this. Just as I said, I have filed a case to try and get rid of that man who thinks he's our president. Anyway, on Facebook, you can find me at AE equals... the letters AE, the equal sign, MC squared. And I think if you put the word squared, you'll find me quicker, or that upside down caret and a two. On Instagram, it's AE, the word equals, then MC, and a word squared. You can email us, or find me in a lot of cases, through AE, the word equals, then an MC and an SQ at gmail.com. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me who you share this with. Please draft a letter and copy your local newspaper. Send it to the Congress. Send it to your representative. Tell them, as I said, don't feed the president if he wants to take money away from kids. Period. Let me let my alter ego finish on the unions and the rest of it. It's an important topic. They are all part of what keeps us going.
So auto workers' pay has eroded 16% against inflation since 2010. Remember, we did have an economic breakdown for several years. Healthcare is something that is very important to all of us. So I want you to go and read about this tentative agreement. And thank you ever so much for once again indulging me on this wonderful Saturday morning. We do have some of the links to some of the articles and research that we did. And I will ask that they post those links so that you can go out and read these things for yourself, people. Read it. Understand it.
And by the way, I like going out and shopping and meeting people and seeing what's going on. I couldn't find my little homemade sign with MIH on it. I found this one. It cost me about $2. It was way, way discounted. It does say make it happen, which is what my basic theme is. We make it happen. Thank you, folks. Have a great weekend and a great week. Let's keep pushing.